Good morning and welcome to Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, Kansas. It's the MIAA Football Media Day as KXCV KRNW is broadcasting live for the next hour here in Kansas City. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Trenton, and we'll be joined by our sideline reporter Jenny James for the program here this morning. And we've got a good show coming on, and we'll be hearing from head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, some players off the Bearcat team, and a lot more on the program as well. And the first order of business every year at this event, Matt, is the coaches poll and the media poll that's introduced, and again this year Northwest Missouri State at the top of the polls.
Yeah, but it's not quite as clear-cut as we've seen in the past. Many of the times we've seen Northwest pull in just about every first place vote, but coming off a year where you go 9-3, you lose the first round of the playoffs and still searching for a few answers on the offensive side, it's not quite as clear-cut this time around. So the Bearcats getting four first-place votes in the coaches' poll, 103 points overall. Fort Hays State got one more first-place vote in that coaches' poll. They got five, 102 points overall. So just behind the Bearcats in the media poll, much the same. Northwest with 14 first-place votes to just 13 for Fort Hays. So it's pretty clear that, for the most part, folks are expecting these two teams to be battling it out once again for the conference title. You can't forget about Central Missouri. They got two first-place votes in that coaches poll as well, six in the media, and Pittsburgh State rounding out that top four on the media side with a first-place vote as well. So should be a lot of fun, and we've seen so many years where it's clear-cut, Bearcats in front of everyone. Well, now all of a sudden it's everyone's a little closer to the pack right now.
And again, as I mentioned, we've got a lot of guests lined up for our program, including Bearcat head football coach Rich Wright. Again, we'll be hearing from a couple of players off the squad that he brought down to this event, some coaches as well, and MIAA Commissioner Mike Reese. But right now we have a special guest with us from D2Football.com, the founder of D2Football.com, Brandon Meisner. Brandon, you know more about Division II football than anyone. And just kind of, first of all, talk about this MIAA poll and what you see as some of the interesting things that came out of this year.
Well, I didn't think Northwest would be number one. I thought Fort Hays would be. I mean, when's the last time that the team that didn't win the conference was picked not to win it again? You know, it's always a repeat. So that was surprising. What was surprising, I think one coach didn't vote. So, I mean, maybe that was Rich Rice, you know, who obviously would have had to pick Fort Hays. You know, when Mike Racy was announcing them, there weren't that many surprises to me. That was really the only surprise. You know, Central at third seems right. Pittsburgh State, where they are, is probably right. And then, you know, when you get down like halfway through, you know, start flipping a coin usually. Maybe, you know, Southern clearly is pulling up the rear. But, so as far as, you know, the top, aside from the Fort Hays Northwest, I thought it was what I would have done, you know, is what I would have picked probably.
You know, we were joking before the show about every year at this time you hear the coaches and people involved with the conference say it's the toughest conference in NCAA Division II football. It's much like during a signing day where you hear each coach say it's the best signing class that they
ever have. Yep.
So, but really, you've been watching this conference for a long, long time and have an opportunity to see other teams from other conferences play. How would you really look at this year's teams, and how do they stand up nationwide?
Well, I think some years the MIAA is the best, some years they aren't. I thought last year was a down year. Nobody would listen to me. When Fort Hays won the conference and they were going to the playoffs, I would have bet big that they were going to get rolled in the first round, and I was right, especially when they're playing Ferris State. You know, you have to get there first and experience it before you understand what it is. But I knew the size, and you guys knew the size and physicality that Ferris State was going to have, you know, and they were bigger. And last year was a down year. Now, that doesn't mean this year will be a down year, because typically, because, you know, I'm so intelligent, every year I think it's going to be strong, it's weak, and every year I think it's going to be weak, it's strong. But, you know, a funny thing about recruiting, John, just as a side note, I was dubbing some old tapes. You know, as a broadcaster, you keep a lot of tapes. When I was in college, I had a bunch of cassettes. You know, the youngsters are get it all digitally
no
now.
No tapes anymore.
Yeah. they're like, so I was doing some old tapes from Mel off of the radio when he'd talk about the recruiting class. And it's funny, I was listening to it, and the interviewer asked him how all these players, you know, who's going to be good. All the players he named that were going to be good, not a one of them made an impact, maybe one. And it was all these other players that were like, you know, second choices. You know, for instance, Andre Rector was one. Yeah, we also signed Andre Rector. It was just an afterthought. You know, and it was just so hilarious that it made me laugh about these polls and about recruiting and about, yeah, it's the best class we've ever had. How often does that really happen, you know?
And really, that's why they play the game.
It is, you know. I always say this, and I kind of do mean it, you know, stats are for losers because, you know, what matters is, you know, that you put the most points on the game, and it doesn't matter that the other team had 450 yards and you had 250 because you turned them over three times deep in their territory and went short field to win the game, you know. And it's absolutely why they play the game, you know. I mean, I don't understand how anybody ever bets on a sporting event because, you know, I always think, oh, they'll win, and then it's the opposite. So the smarter people than me have to bet, you know.
You talk about the strength of the schedule and trying to figure the conference and trying to figure out what's the good year, when's it going to be, you know, balance out, and last year not so much. Would it benefit to play some non-conference games like we'd seen in prior years instead of this complete round-robin schedule? Does that help the conference? Does it help the conference to not get out and show some of that? What are your thoughts on that overall?
No, I think it should be mandatory. I think there should be mandatory one or two a year if to be eligible for the playoffs, just for the sake of picking the playoffs. But, and that's a practical standpoint, just from a pure enjoyment standpoint, It's boring to me to play the same teams over and over and over. You know, now, if you're a Northwest Missouri fan or you're a Pittsburgh State fan, player, coach, everybody involved, you have a chance to get to a bowl game. You have a chance to get to the playoffs and see other teams. Let's say you're Missouri Southern, who's really struggling of late. You've played the same 11 teams 4 years in a row. You haven't gone anywhere exciting. You've basically gone where you grew up. What if Missouri Southern had a chance to take a non-conference game, go play an RMAC team, get a win? That would be great for them. And see the Rocky Mountains that some of those kids had never seen before. And I just think that there are many reasons why you should have to play it. And number one, if your team in conference is as good as you think it is, go out and prove it on the field, and you'll be in great situation when the playoffs come.
Brendan, when you look at the rest of the conferences right now, what other conferences really stand out to you?
I think, Gulf South, GLIAC, and the MIAA, right now one of those three is going to be the best probably every year. Slightly behind that's the Northern Sun. They've had some good teams, but even as a conference. But I think those three are the best. You know, and obviously, you know, you and I have talked about the NCC was the best conference in the history of Division II. That no longer exists, but some of those teams are in the Northern Sun. But I would say any year, one of those three conferences is the best.
Brandon, we certainly appreciate you stopping by and talking with us. Your website, d2football.com, really brings Division II football together. I know it's just been a great thing for everyone involved here.
It's a go-to place.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And we now have Mike Racy getting ready to step up and talk with us here, the commissioner of the MIAA, as Mike has been in charge of conference for a couple of years now and is a busy guy here today as he's talking to everybody. And glad we certainly appreciate the fact that Mike Racy has a chance to sit down and talk with us here as Mike gets his headphones put on. And Mike, busy day for you here.
Oh, great. It's a great day. It's a great day outside. It's a great day inside. So we're having lots of fun. Great turnout for 2018 Media Day.
Overall, I mean, this is kind of, it kicks off the football season essentially, but kind of that school year for all these student athletes getting ready to go back in and hit that class grind. But is this one that you kind of have circled on your calendar once that spring sports season wraps up?
It is for me. We do a lot of planning to pull this off. Sporting KC, great partners, and allow us to come out here and stage this event where we do the NCAA Division II National Championship game. And so we put a lot of work into it, but it is circled on the calendar because it kind of feels like the start of the fall for us. I know these student-athletes and coaches will be in practice soon, and student-athletes in all sports will be arriving on campus, and another school year starts. You know, the most fun I have is watching our team show up and coaches and the student athletes walk in, and they all seem to walk straight out to the field. You know, it's kind of like they've been a short drive or a long drive, but the goal is to get here and to walk out and say, okay, this is this is what we're playing for. This is where we want to end up in December, and that's fun.
And that's one of the advantages of the MIAA. Obviously, the rest of the nation's conferences want to end up here as well, but they get a little chance to kind of look out and see what it could be like if things go well for
we
them.
We give all our teams a little sneak peek and allow them to they're not letting them on the field. Sporting KC is still playing some games, so they're protecting the turf. But I've seen a few bend down and touch the grass and a lot of photos out there and pictures. And I know they're all dreaming about, what it might be like with a playoff run and then back here in December.
Yeah, we know all the Bearcat fans listening have probably been here for a championship in the last few years, yep, or at least tuned in on TV. We kind of know from our perspective, but from a conference standpoint, from the office of getting some of that national attention of being on national TV and hosting this event, what's that been like for the MIAA?
It's a lot of work. Our associate commissioner in the conference office, Amber Feldman, she used to work with the NCAA in their championships department, has great relationships still with a lot of folks at the NCAA, and she does all the heavy lifting, and really starting in September through championship day in December, she does a lot of work for that. We have a great partnership with the Kansas City Sports Commission, so you know it takes a lot of volunteers to pull off a national championship game. You know, not just what the stakes are, you know, an NCAA title, but national TV and you know, a lot of issues that go into the, you know, having the suites available and the hospitality and the things that come with playing in a venue like Children's Mercy Park. So there are a lot of moving parts, a lot more than your normal football operations. And Amber and her team do a great job in pulling it together.
Besides the football, what are some of the exciting things that the conference has coming up this year that folks need to know about?
Well, for us, it's about winning national championships. I mentioned in my opening remarks that in my brief 2 years as commissioner, we've had six different schools win eight national championships. UCM doubled up in soccer and women's basketball, and Northwest doubled up in football and basketball in the same year. And then we've spread the rest of them around. But, that's my hope as commissioner going into every season, that we've got schools that are ready and prepared to win a championship. We're competitive in every sport nationally. There's no reason to believe that won't be the case again this year. As a conference, we've got a couple of events that we've done and started since I became commissioner. We do a women in sports forum in conjunction with the sports commission and women leaders in college sports. That'll be in the spring. Obviously, we'll be getting ready for the NCAA convention in January. We've got some new championship venues. We've started a rotation now in baseball. We used to have a bid process, but it'll be a rotation now with all of the schools that have all turf fields. We'll be playing on new golf venues. Tennis will be down in Oklahoma City this year. We've been playing in Nebraska the last couple of years. So some new championship venues, new championship sites for conference championships. That'll be new as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the eight championships and for six different schools since you've been here, and you know, just a very competitive conference overall. We hear it a lot. We kind of talked with Brandon Meisner at D2Football.com a minute ago about MIAA gets kind of coined as the SEC of Division II, but do you feel like there's a little more national recognition, especially you go out to some of those NCAA conferences to where, you know, folks kind of see the logo and they know what it is?
They do. Yeah, we certainly have the respect nationally, and not just for the success we have on the field, but people nationally, they know our coaches, they know the character of our student athletes. There's just a lot to be proud of in the MIAA. We've always I think taken a lot of pride in our football facilities. Well, you know, now it's our track and field facilities. You guys have have one that you're about ready to open in Maryville, and Washburn's about ready to build one that will have bank tracks, and you know, every national event from the junior colleges to the NAIA to USA Track and Field will be visiting Maryville, like they visit Pittsburgh, like they will be visiting Topeka with Washburn's facility, and And so it's a great time, I think, to be part of the MIAA and the things that are going on, not only success on the field, but the facilities and the type of coaches and student-athletes we have in the conference.
I think one of the advantages the conference has, not only represented in just the number of states that you're represented in, but you've got representation in Kansas City, St. Louis, Omaha gets covered with the UNK, and of course Northwest gets into Omaha quite a bit as well, and Oklahoma City now. So a lot of the major population areas in the Midwest are covered with MIAA.
Yeah, and we have great alumni throughout the Midwest, well, you know, all over the world, but especially throughout the Midwest, and a great number that are in Kansas City, which, you know, is where our conference office is. You know, the one thing I'm really proud about that we started last year was the new MIAA network on a platform managed by a company out of Lexington, Kentucky, Blue Frame Technology. And our network, the MIAA network, has quickly become kind of the model in NCAA Division II. And we, you know, we broadcast our football games, our basketball games, volleyball games. Some of our other sports get broadcast as well. We're broadcasting live. Today's Media Day. And I think the reason it's so successful is the markets that you talked about that we're in, and the alumni, the strong alumni base that all of our institutions have.
Is there any plan overall? Does the conference, I mean, there's been a lot of alignment in the last 10, 15 years, but is that something that's kind of always right there, keeping an eye on?
Yeah, membership always has to be front of mind for a conference commissioner. I'm not doing my job for the membership if I'm not paying attention to kind of what the trends are, what's going on with other conferences in our area, what our schools are thinking about. So membership's been a big discussion the past year. We'll know some more about kind of the stability in our conference, I think, as we get through the fall and at the NCAA convention. And our presidents and ADs at the NCAA convention will have some conversations about membership and some of the future plans that we have.
Mike, I know it's a busy morning for you here. Certainly appreciate you stopping by and taking time to talk with us for a little bit.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you guys. I'll be in Maryville for week one, the matchup with Missouri Western, and seemed like a good place for me to go on the first week of football. So I'll see you up there that Thursday night.
Well, all right, what do you say we shoot for a mid-December here?
That would be good, too.
So. All right. Well, Mike, thanks a lot for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Again, that's the commissioner of the MIAA, Mike Racy. We'll take a quick break here. We've got a lot more coming up from Media Day here at the MIAA and in Kansas City. We'll be back with more right after this from Kansas City.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Brownville Concert Series. Josh Hoyer and Soul Colossal perform their combination of soul, funk, and R&B August 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Brownville Concert Hall. Ticket information is at brownvilleconcertseries.com. Support for the series comes from the Nebraska Arts Council and the Nemaha County Tourism Fund. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Missouri Coalition for Quality Care, advocates for quality long-term care in Missouri. Abuse or neglect of elderly or handicapped individuals can be reported to the Missouri State Hotline at 1-800-392-0210. More information is available at mcqc.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering automatic entrances, electronic security systems, as well as service and repair of locking, hinging, and closer hardware. More at 660-582-3131. In-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, serving Maryville and Northwest Missouri for over 100 years. St. Francis provides emergency services, acute care for patients with medical and surgical diagnosis, mental health illnesses, and obstetrical needs. More at SSMHealthSTFrancis.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, coordinating economic development services for the City of Maryville, Nottoway County, and the Maryville Industrial Development Corporation. Their services include finance and incentives development, site location, industrial development, and small business assistance. More at MarylandMO.org. This program is underwritten by Culligan Water of St. Joseph, Missouri, serving Northwest Missouri with bottled water and water conditioning products. For home and business, Culligan Water of St. Joseph, 816-279-2826. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Brownville Concert Series. Josh Hoyer and Soul Colossal perform their combination of soul, funk, and R&B August 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Brownville Concert Hall. Ticket information is at brownvilleconcertseries.com. Support for the series comes from the Nebraska Arts Council and the Nemaha County Tourism Fund.
And welcome back to Kansas City at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, Kansas. It's the MIAA Football Media Day. I'm John Coffey, joined now by Jenny James and a couple players from the Bearcat football team, offensive lineman Zach Flatt, along with defensive end Austin Eskew. And guys, thanks a lot for being with us here on the program this morning. So,
thanks for having us.
And I guess, first of all, let's talk to you, Zach, just a little bit. And tell us a little bit about how your offseason's gone this year.
I think it's been really good. We've had a lot of competition, a lot of intensity through all our practices and all our workouts, and I think all the guys are just ready to get back to playing football and get this season started.
Boy, it's not going to be too long here, another week or so, and get ready to go with the fall practices here.
Fall camp starts Sunday, check-in and everything, and then we're right into practice on Monday.
Zach, you're losing guys like Ryan Huff and Landon Kubicek, but you have strong players returning like Chase Thomas and Tanner Owen on that line. So what is that offensive line looking like to you?
I think we're looking pretty good. All the guys that we're having starting and playing this year saw minutes last year. And with all the extra practices and reps we took this summer, I think our camaraderie and our communication has improved a lot. So I think we're going to gel well going into practice and carry that right on into the season.
From that last game in Ashland, Ohio, till now, I guess, what would you say is the biggest improvement that you have seen from just the offense in general?
I think our run game has improved a lot since last season with the addition of a couple running backs and just being more comfortable with Coach Cunningham's schemes and everything. I think we should be able to run the ball pretty well this year.
You have a bunch of talented guys on the offense, like Sean Bain Jr., Brody McMahon, the new running back transfer from Missouri Western. So all of the tools are there for a successful offense, and now might have a really young quarterback coming in that hasn't had much experience. Do you think that's going to affect how the offense plays?
I think we're going to rely more on the running game in the early stages of the season and just try to let those quarterbacks ease into it and become comfortable in the system.
Well, again, it won't be very much longer before you get out there. How much have you been looking forward to getting the start of this fall camp, especially after the way last season ended for you?
When things end with a loss instead of a win, it's more than anything you want to get back out there on that field and do everything you can to change it. So I think everyone's really excited.
How do you feel about taking Western on the first game to open the season with a rival?
I think it's great. I think the environment for that first Thursday game is going to be fantastic, and I couldn't think of a better way to kick off the school year in the 2018 season than a Thursday rivalry game at Bearcat Stadium.
All right, Zach, thanks a lot for being with us on the program here this morning.
Thank you.
All right, as we mentioned, too, Austin Eskew with us on the defensive side of things, coming in as defensive end, kind of come in this time around with a little more experience on the defensive line this year.
There's just a different level of comfortability that the D-line has with Coach Wright this year. We also have a bunch of new guys that are going to have to step up. You know, we're missing Bobby Grinlow and Caleb and Ben Spaeth, but it just creates a level of competition that we're really excited about, and there's quite a bit of depth there, and everyone's competing for a spot, and that just makes everyone all around better.
The Northwest defense has always been known to be bone-crushing, to be really tough, and that expectation is there year after year. You guys lost a couple people, Ben Spaeth and Caleb Mather, but you do have people like Anthony Lane coming back, Ben Althoff, Nick Hess, yourself. So what kind of are the expectations with these guys returning? What are you wanting to get done?
Well, a great amount of leadership is what we're expecting from, you know, Nick and Anthony and Ben. We're going to have to rely on the back end quite a bit with all that experience that they've had. You know, I'm going to have three younger guys on the defensive line, and this will just be my second year, you know, playing there. So definitely going to have to depend on them a lot, but just also depend on being hungry and being, you know, a hard-working team that wants to go out and prove themselves.
From that last game in Ohio, what would you say are the improvements that you've seen up to this point?
I would say just the improvements is just knowing the game of football better. We focused a lot this offseason, more than we have in the past summers, on just playing football. Not just lifting, not just running and conditioning, but also playing football, practicing every day, and just, you know, being more comfortable with you know, the people that are going to be beside you throughout the season and creating that depth. That's a big thing, is creating depth so people can, you know, take breathers during the game and, you know, come back in fresh, ready to go.
What does it mean to you to go into your last season as a captain?
It's amazing. It's a huge honor to be, you know, voted as a captain for the Northwest Missouri State Bearcats. With that honor comes a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure. But that's what you sign up for when you come and play for Northwest. It's an expectation. It's not pressure, but you're expected to perform at a high level, and that's what you know you're signing up for when you sign your signature on that paper. So it's just a tremendous honor, and I'm ready to go prove something.
You guys kind of talked about earlier the preseason polls being selected number one in the MIAA. Coach Wright kind of discussed having that chip on your shoulder. How do you guys feel about that, being selected first in MIAA? How big is that chip on your shoulder?
It's big. I wouldn't even say that we would be the most deserving team to be voted number one preseason in MIAA. We lost to two other MIAA teams last year, so. As far as I know, we're the third best team in the MIAA, and that's a lot to prove this year. You know, we need that MIAA championship outright, and that's what we shoot for every year. That's our number one goal. So, and then, you know, other goals build off of that. But yeah, that was a big one that we didn't accomplish last year that we're looking to this year.
Do you feel like that adds any pressure going into this season?
No, not really. We have a little less pressure on our backs. I mean, it's Northwest Missouri State. You're expected to win that every year. So. Not more pressure, but, you know, it's just something you got to work for, and we know the mistakes that we made last year, so we got to correct them this year.
And I'll ask you the same question. How do you feel about taking on rival Missouri Western in the first game?
Kind of like Zach mentioned in the conference earlier, it's going to be a great atmosphere. You know, they're however many miles down the road, 35, 40 miles down the road, 40 minutes or whatever. This makes an easy trip for people from St. Joe to come up to Northwest Bearcat Stadium. And, I mean, Bearcat Stadium, we have the greatest fans in the MIAA. It's going to be hopping no matter what on Thursday night. But with a little extra people from St. Joe, it's going to be a great atmosphere to play in. We're really excited.
Austin, one last question. Coming into this year, it's your second year on the defensive side of the ball. How much more comfortable do you feel this year going into the situation playing defense than what you did at this time a year ago?
I feel a lot more comfortable. I just got to keep in mind that I just need to do my job, you know, not try to do anything more than what's expected of me, because Coach Wright's going to have those other D linemen ready to go. That's what he does. He has the defense ready to go come game one. So I just got to focus on myself. No, I'm not going to let, you know, anyone else on the defense down, and there's not as much pressure, but it's also, you know, same expectation going in.
All right, well, guys, thanks a lot for being with us here.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and that's Austin Eskew along with Zach Flopp, who made the trip down to Kansas City here for the MIAA Media Day here in Kansas City, Kansas. We'll be back and more for you right after this timeout from Kansas City, Kansas.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Missouri Coalition for Quality Care, advocates for quality long-term care in Missouri. Abuse or neglect of elderly or handicapped individuals can be reported to the Missouri State Hotline at 1-800-392-0210. More information is available at mcqc.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, serving Maryville and Northwest Missouri for over 100 years. St. Francis provides emergency services, acute care for patients with medical and surgical diagnosis, mental health illnesses, and obstetrical needs. More at SSMHealthSTFrancis.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering automatic entrances, electronic security systems, as well as service and repair of locking, hinging, and closer hardware. More at 660-582-3131, in store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, coordinating economic development services for the City of Maryville, Nottoway County, and the Maryville Industrial Development Corporation. Their services include finance and incentives development, site location, industrial development, and small business assistance. More at MarylandMO.org. This program is underwritten by Culligan Water of St. Joseph, Missouri, serving Northwest Missouri with bottled water and water conditioning products. For home and business, Culligan Water of St. Joseph, 816-279-2826. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Brownville Concert Series. Josh Hoyer and Soul Colossal performed their combination of soul, funk, and R&B August 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Brownville Concert Hall. Ticket information is at brownvilleconcertseries.com. Support for the series comes from the Nebraska Arts Council and the Nemaha County Tourism Fund. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Missouri Coalition for Quality Care, advocates for quality long-term care in Missouri. Abuse or neglect of elderly or handicapped individuals can be reported to the Missouri State Hotline at 1-800-392-0210. More information is available at mcqc.com.
And welcome back to Kansas City and the MIAA Football Media Days taking place at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, Kansas. And joined now by Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State, Andy Peterson, who had the interim title to his name early, but now is the full-time Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State. And Andy, congratulations on getting the position.
Thanks, John. It's been fun. The outpouring of support, social media and emails and texts and everything, it's been really humbling. I'm really honored, obviously, to be here in this role and trying to support, obviously today football and as they go through this thing and get their year started next week. But every student athlete and every sport that we sponsor as an institution, it's a really humbling thing, but I'm proud to do it. This is something that I've kind of been gearing towards for a while, and for it to come to fruition here is pretty special.
When in your career did you decide that this was the direction you wanted to take your career?
It was probably a year or two into being the assistant AD for facilities. After when Coach T was able to create that, and I think it kind of created to help out Coach Mac, because we kind of saw the value in having two assistant coaches on the men's basketball side. So once we created the position and I got into the administration part and was in all the meetings and got, kind of plugged in with the facilities folks on campus at Northwest and some of the other leadership committees I was able to get in and be involved with, and then just working with all the coaches, I've got a background in, I played fast pitch softball in high school, a small school, ran track and field, played basketball, obviously, got to college here, was pretty heavily involved in the FCA. And so some of my best friends were, tennis player and soccer girls and all this sort of thing. So to have every sport kind of be a part of my life at some point or another, especially at Northwest, and then starting to work with the coaches again as administrator, it really kind of flipped a switch in my brain a little bit about, man, there's something to be said about the experiences and everything that I've had with men's basketball and women's golf, obviously. But to be able to have that role and the ability to impact every student athlete in a positive way was really something that resonated with me, and so that's kind of where it started, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And as men's basketball kind of became its own animal, and they obviously did some great things and have done some great things, that it was just an opportunity for me to move over into administration and kind of focus on that and what I wanted to do. So it's been kind of a slow burn, but it's completely a fire right now. So
I know one project you've worked closely with through the years that's going to come to fruition a little bit later this fall is the indoor facility. And just really briefly just talk a little bit about the process of what's taking place next with that and when that will be open.
Yeah, well, hopefully in the next couple, 3 weeks. We like to get in there before school starts. Originally the plan was the first year of August, but we had some rough weather this spring, trying to get the roof on it and that sort of thing that kind of delayed things a little bit. But here in the next 3 weeks we'll be able to get in there with all of our sports. The big thing is for, like, even football last night, they were trying to do some hill running outside, and we got a rogue lightning bolt that kind of threw everything off a little bit. So to be able for them just to run up the hill and run inside and keep practicing for all of our outdoor sports, even baseball, softball in the spring, the weather's in Maryville aren't the best, the winters in Maryville aren't the best, so it's going to change a lot of things for a lot of our programs, and we're really excited about it going forward. Like I said, here in a couple, 3 weeks, we'll see what we can do with it and how the impact will change, not only our department, but university and the community as well. So,
all right. Well, Andy, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, John.
That's Andy Peterson, Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State. If we can get Rich Wright to come over this way, he's out of another meeting that he had to go through, and get Rich to put on the headphones and sit down with us here as Media Day continues here in Kansas City, as all the coaches from the conference are on hand as they're speaking. And Rich, let's go ahead and put on your headphones here, and we'll get you on right now. So, all right.
Let's rock and roll.
All right, good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Boy, busy morning for you.
It is kind of a busy morning, but that's all right.
Well, let's first of all just talk about the polls. I know this is something that coaches talk about or ask about, I guess, probably is the best way to put this when these come up, and then you don't hear a lot about it the rest of the years you go through this. But when you see Northwest at the top of both the media and coaches poll, what does that tell you?
Well, I want to point out, first of all, Fort Hays State had more first-place votes than we did. Gosh darn it. You know, it's preseason stuff, but I would have just assumed they'd have picked us about third. That would have been about perfect because it kind of fits in with a little bit of the chip we're trying to put on everybody's shoulder around our place.
And when you look at the team you've got coming back this year, what's the main thing that really strikes you with this group that's coming back?
We're going to be new. We're going to be young. You know, and I've tried to, you know, set some expectations in the community, at least as far as that's concerned. Internally within the organization, that's just noise. You know, we have a job to do. We have a level of expectation we expect to hit at, and we're going to go for it. But we are going to be young. There's going to be a lot of new faces, and it's going to take people a couple weeks to get to know some of our players and some of the new guys that are going to fill positions. And, you know, it doesn't get any bigger than starting with our quarterback position. So
there is going to be quite a bit of youth, and quarterback kind of has a magnifying glass on it. But when you look essentially at the front seven of the defense, does that kind of make you feel pretty good at the guys you have coming back and just the potential there?
You know, where I feel really good, honestly, is the back seven. I feel great about our linebacking core. We have a lot of experience and a lot of depth there. I think that'll be the strength of our defensive football team. I think we have a good nucleus of guys in the back end. You know, guys that have played a lot of snaps, guys that have, you know, played in some big moments. And I think that will help us. My concern right now is the front four. You know, right now as it sits, we're not where we've been the last 5 or 6 years. And as you guys know, I really believe that our defensive line has set the table for a lot of the success that we've had on defense. And we've been able to overwhelm a lot of offensive lines in the MIAA and at the national level. And so we're not there right now. You know, I've got one returning starter. I've got other guys that have played some, but I only have one returning starter there, and it's so that's going to be a little bit more of a work in progress. I fully plan to put the defensive line coach under a ton of pressure. That's me, by the way. So we're gonna try and you know, the thing that I like is we've got a lot of guys that have played. And I think we have pretty good depth. Now, will we have those upper echelon marquee guys? I don't know. That'll remain to be seen.
One thing, when you look at things on the offensive side, that appears to be a strength coming in, it's going to be at the running back position. It looks like you've got a lot more depth at running back this year.
Yeah, we do. You know, we brought in Isaiah Strainhorn from out in California. Josh Caldwell obviously comes in, and they join a crowded backfield. You know, It's figuring out creative ways to utilize those guys and get, you know, sometimes you think, well, there's only one running back on a field at a time. Not necessarily. You know, there's some ways that you can go about utilizing those guys all at the same time, and we fully plan on doing that to some degree.
Now, you talk about having multiple running backs. Are you telling me there's going to be a Maryland Eye situation on the field?
I'm not sure we're going to do the Maryland Eye, but I think we can figure out some formations and some sets where we could. Those guys are good enough athletes out in space. Raymond Thomas did a lot of great things in the spring game. He's another young kid. Brody McMahon, the townie. You know, Emmanuel Jones. I mean, they all kind of do different things, and I think we can showcase that a little bit within the framework of our offense.
Do you get creative at the same time putting the ball in the hands of Sean Bain?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that, you know, one of the challenges is when you have a young quarterback, you don't always necessarily anticipate high completion percentages to start with. So you create ways that you can get the ball to your receivers and your playmakers in space one-on-one and make those throws as easy as possible as you can for the quarterback. Whether that's in a fly sweep scenario or whether that's a screen or whether that's a slant route or whatever you got to do to create high percentage throws for the quarterback or easy ways to get skill kids the ball, you know, we have to be able to address and focus on.
Fall camp's coming up real soon, starting next Sunday, and then you get right into it. What are the main things you want to get accomplished early in fall camp?
You know, I want to crank up the intensity, I want to crank up the repetitions, and I want to crank up the physicality. Those are the three things that we want to address. Physicality at the line of scrimmage is going to be paramount. We need to go impose our will on people. You're going to hear me saying that a lot. You know, the mantra is own it, but the line of scrimmage is impose your will. And I believe that's been a huge part of why we've been so successful on the defensive line. And, you know, my lens is fully turned over to that offensive line and wanting to see that trend in that direction.
With so many guys sticking around throughout the offseason like we've seen through the years for Northwest Missouri State, is it that much easier to get into it and crank it up because they've kind of been around and even workouts on their own?
Definitely. I think it's, you know, what we've been able to do, we basically created captain's practices 3 days a week by where we've gone reps. And the thing that it's done is guys like Josh, you know, have been able to come in and learn the system before we actually go to practice. They've had, you know, almost a month and a half of practice every day. We've got a couple, you know, with Isaiah, and we've got you know, just new transfer kids at different positions, and to create some comfort in those kids before they put the pads on allows us to kind of hit the ground running.
And you'll have to do that August 30th. It's not that far away when Missouri Western comes to town for a Thursday night kickoff, a 7 o'clock start there. So you open up with one of the big rivals on your schedule.
Yeah, you know, it's the St. Joe radio guy asked me what I thought of that. I was like, you know, they don't play the Iron Bowl in week one. Why are they playing this one? But it's you know, the flip side of it is it's fun. It's going to be a great atmosphere. You know, Thursday night in the Ville. You know, that night game, that first home game, is always electric anyway. Add to it that Missouri Western is coming to town, and there will be some people from down south that will try and roll up into the Ville, and it's just going to make an awesome opening night of college football. So it should be a great time.
Well, speaking of Missouri Western, opening of the season up with that, is that one that's A, circled on Josh Caldwell's calendar a little bit more, and B, what's he been like overall as a teammate throughout practices, learning everything, and just seeing him embrace the Bearcat way?
Well, A, I haven't looked at Josh Caldwell's calendar, so I can't tell you for sure. But I would have a sense that he's probably looking forward to playing in that game. Give me the B piece of the question again. I forgot.
What's he been like as a teammate, embracing the Bearcat way and that sort of thing?
He's been fantastic. He's really fit into our program, to our system. You know, you hear a lot of noise at why a guy doesn't work out in another program, and I can just, you know, anytime we take a kid, we kind of wipe the slate clean and say, you know, you're based and judged on what you're doing at Northwest Missouri State. And he's been phenomenal. He's been really a fantastic teammate, and you know, probably even more impressively are our kids and the way they've received him. You know, the backfield's pretty crowded. And Emmanuel, you know, Chase White, you know, those guys have not only embraced him as a person, but actually tried to get him up to speed on the nuances of playing the position when that could ultimately limit their repetitions. And so it just speaks volumes about the types of kids that we have in our program, I think.
How much have you been looking forward to getting this season started?
Really since the last season ended. You know, it's there was a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about was, you know, wherever this thing takes us is committing to the process and really trying to engage and focus and get our best every week. And wherever the chips lie with that, I think we can all live with. Where I think a little bit of the bad taste ended up last year is that I'm not sure we got that each and every week. And so we're looking forward to it. As I said in the press conference inside, one of the toughest things it is to do as a football coach is continue to harp on details when you don't experience failure. There's a lot more introspective looking when you don't experience success. And our kids, you know, for what their expectations are and where they want to be, got a nice long off season to think about that. And it's been nice to see the level of commitment that's, you know, kind of come back because of it.
Rich, thanks a lot for being with us this morning, and we look forward to working with you throughout the season.
Can't wait for it.
All right, sounds good. That's Rich Wright, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team. It's MIAA Media Day here in Kansas City, Kansas, at Children's Mercy Park. And time to wrap up our broadcast here. Matt Trent, it's been a fun hour or so here as we're trying to bring you a little bit of the flavor of what's taking place here, and it's We're going to start here in another week. It's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Man, it is right around the corner. There's so much going on. We're so excited, looking forward to the upcoming fall for Northwest Missouri State football in the MIAA. Probably could have filled 3 hours, but it's been a lot of fun getting a little bit and talking with players, coaches, and, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun as Missouri Western comes into town on August 30th.
And we'll have the broadcast of that game and every Bearcat football game on KXCV, KRNW. We'll be on there at 6 o'clock with Bearcat game day before the 7 o'clock kickoff on Thursday, August 30th. We've also been gathering a lot of interviews from here and during our sportscast throughout the next couple weeks. We'll have more for you from today's MIAA Media Day. My thanks to Jenny James, also Matt Trent, and I'm John Coffey, and so long from Kansas City.